Welcome to the Boxing Talk Show, Fair but Firm, with the Hall of Fame boxing referee. I'm Joe Cortez and co-host John Zimmel for all of Las Vegas.
Come on, guys, let's touch them up. Key fight. I'm Joe Cortez, Fair but Firm.
Welcome to the Fair but Firm show here in Las Vegas, Nevada, with my co-host John Zimmel, of course, the boxing capital of the world. We're going to have a little bit to talk about boxing today, something that may be of interest to you. Of course, we know that boxing has been a little bit quiet last couple of weeks, but we can talk a little bit about what's in our heads right now, this very moment, John.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Joe, we got a very special, you know, we got a lot going on today, man. There wasn't a lot over the last couple of weeks, but it's ramping up again. The very next week, we'll see Lomachenko, we'll see Terrence Crawford, we'll see Canelo Alvarez, we'll see Anthony Joshua. I mean, over the next few months, it's going to be an onslaught, just like the first few months were. So we were lucky to have that little break of last week to kind of discuss what the first quarter of 2019 brought us. And we have now this week to discuss what the second quarter of 2019 is bringing us. Yeah, and I'm excited, my friend.
Yeah, so am I. You guys have any questions, put your questions out there now before the show ends. Why don't you ask your question last bit of the show? Ask them now. Hopefully we can give you the answers you want to.
Joe, I got a question.
What's that?
This week, a gentleman named Kash Ali fought David Price in England. David Price is a British heavyweight. He's gotten a lot of acclaim over the years. He has a bit of a fan base, but he's kind of faded since. Kash Ali tackled him in the middle of the round, and then he started biting him on his chest and his stomach. You ever seen something like that, Joe? You've been doing this a long time.
You know, last time I saw something like that was Prince Rasig Ahmed when he fought Marc Antonio Barrera.
Okay, that was a famous fight.
Yeah, they got down to the ground. They were still trying to punch each other on the ground. I was trying to break him up.
I thought it was MMA, huh?
For a while, they thought it was an wrestling
match.
But there was no biting, though.
Okay.
But what happened? These guys are told to have dinner before you go to the fight.
That's a good point. Yeah, you got to fight before the fight. I mean, yeah, because the weigh-in already happened. There's no reason to...
Now he gets suspended for who knows, a year or so?
Hopefully. I mean,
What do you accomplish by tackling a guy, trying to bite him on the canvas?
Yeah, he got his his purse withheld. Do you think that's the right move?
I think they should not even pay him at all.
That's what they're doing. They're not paying him.
Well, you're going to be held on. How much are you going to fine him?
Yeah.
I mean, it should be called a no contest. And I think it should be
it was a DQ, so they gave Price the win.
Okay, so it's a disqualification, and the guy should not be thinking about coming back anytime soon because you got to think about this. See, that's why boxing, we teach you discipline. You know, keep the discipline going because if he should be banned from boxing, of course, he should be banned from boxing.
Not a bad move, man.
But for how long? It depends.
It's a fair question.
You know, I'm not going to say ban him. Forever?
If we don't give out lifetime bans for drug cheating, then how are we going to give out lifetime bans for,
Yeah, but what happens, that's unsportsmanlike conduct.
Oh, yeah.
And what these guys got, they got to go to kind of a training rehab place or maybe get some kind of a, see what's going on in your head.
That's a disgrace.
Maybe you're taking too many punches to the head or what was going on, I don't know.
Exactly. The referee stopped it right away as soon as he saw the bite marks, immediately called it a DQ. That's the right move, right?
Yeah, of course, the right
move. No question to think about that at all.
Yeah, let's not even talk about that anymore because we don't want to give this guy too much publicity for something that he didn't do that was any good for boxing.
So that's an excellent point. Let's move on to something good for boxing.
Go ahead, give me something.
We got Ryan Garcia stopping Josh the Wonder Boy Lopez in two rounds.
Huh?
Now, we said on Saturday this was a step up in competition for Ryan Garcia. Not a huge step up, but a decent one. Did we learn anything from this fight? Do you think, it's a slow process, right? The kid's only 20. I know he's fought 18 pro fights, but he's only 20 years old. Is he where you think he should be right now? Okay, good.
Yeah, I think he's right where he wants to be. It gives him a little vote of confidence in himself, beating the Wonder Boy from Puerto Rico. And it was something that this guy, Ryan Garcia, needed. Ryan Garcia needed to get a fight like this on his belt. To prove to not only to himself, but to the promoters and all the fans out there that he's ready to step up one more notch, give him another good fight with a good name fighter.
He said he wants to fight for a world title this year. Did Devin Haney, so did Shakur Stevenson, and so did Teofimo Lopez. One of those guys has the best chance of winning a world title this year?
It's kind of hard to say.
It is really hard to say.
I don't want to say any of them because I think in reality, I think that they should all be stepping down. Good to talk about it.
If this was the 70s or the 90s, and I know those are different eras, would they even be talking about that right now?
No.
Their career would still be so young.
They'd probably be fighting 6 or 8-round fights.
Still, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, when I was fighting back in the early 60s, mid-60s, you were lucky to get a 6-round fight at Madison Square Garden.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I don't care what kind of record you had. You had to really be top-notch. and I had a pretty decent record, and they gave me.
You feel like guys, their careers get rushed along a little nowadays because of the hype, because of social media and the amount of boxing media that exists, including us.
There's so many sanctioning bodies out there, so many opportunities. Yeah. They got so many minor title fights out there. Maybe a good way for them to start with the NABF.
The little ones.
The minor title fights.
Before we get to world championship level.
Yeah, then world championship level. I'd say if you have over 20 pro fights under your belt and if you're pretty decent, then I could see you.
Unless you have maybe the amateur pedigree of a Vasily Lomachenko. If you're a two-time Olympian and you're already 28 years old and you fought 397 amateur fights, then maybe you're ready to compete for a title.
Yeah, well, people know. You look at a fight and say, okay, this guy's got it. You see him there sparring with some of the champions.
Oh, yeah.
And you see what he could do, some of these champions. That's why they have these trendy sparring sessions. That's why they want to watch him. You don't buy a diamond ring just by looking at it because it's shiny. You want to take it to an expert and really look at it and making sure that it is a genuine diamond.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Diamond.
You don't want to just go, let's give this.
Yeah, just because it's a lot of glitter doesn't mean that it's a real thing.
Let's let him fight for a championship. Yeah, exactly.
You want to make sure when you take it to the expert, let him look at it and say, yeah, that's the real thing. You can buy it.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. You're right. With that combination of not only media exposure, social media exposure, but also boxing is enormous right now.
Yeah.
We have, what did we say, 135 different cards that are just guaranteed to come this year. You're going to have guys like on this last ESPN card this last week with Vozdik versus Dudu Ngannou or whatever his name was. That was a fight that probably wouldn't be a headline even 2 years ago, right? It wouldn't have headlined a card and probably shouldn't have headlined a card. But you're not always – not every fight's going to be, you know, the biggest fight in the world. It's just good to have boxing on every weekend.
You're going to have 135 more shows for the rest of the year. You know what? That's good. Out of 135 shows, you're probably going to get maybe 10 good fighters.
Yeah, which is okay.
10 good fighters. That's it.
Yeah.
And you're going to have all these fights. That doesn't mean you're going to get every show going to be an outstanding
card. But exposure is good, right, overall?
You need the exposure so they can get the experience
and
become household names. And that's how you get to the next
level. So just because you see a guy like Vozdik, who's a unified world, you know, I think he's got two light heavyweight belts. I mean, he might only have one. Excuse me if I'm wrong. And he, you know, doesn't really impress against this guy, and he ends up getting injured. It's just – that fight would be on the undercard 10 years ago, right?
Absolutely.
You can't, it's not that it was, you know, it's just this much exposure is going to create, not every fight's going to be a banger, right?
Yeah, right. And not only that, but there's no rush, you know, but you take it easy with your fighters. They're going to get there eventually. If you rush them too fast, you may damage their potential. Going to go
absolutely.
Anyway. So best easy, take it easy. They're going to get there. There's big money to be made. Once they get there, boom, you got it made. If you rush them too fast, they get bumped off. They may never be the same again. They lose confidence in themselves, and the record is tarnished. And you know what? And before you know it, nobody wants these guys anymore.
And for the record, the way that Golden Boy has handled Ryan Garcia's career thus far, the way that Top Rank has handled Teofimo Lopez and Shakur Stevenson's careers thus far, and the way that Devin Haney's whole team, including his family and yourself, have handled his career thus far, I think has been perfect. And they've brought them along as well as you possibly could. They've had a ton of exposure. But without letting themselves hang out to dry, they've had plenty to talk about without, you know, writing checks that their butts couldn't cash. And I got to say, I'm excited for the future of boxing just looking at those four names. And then you throw, you know, Gervonta Davis and some of these other guys in there.
Yeah,
I mean, what more could you ask for?
No, absolutely. I think that the top name fighters will be, it's definitely on the horizon. And it's just a matter of time. You're going to see these fighters with the names we have mentioned. You know, Devin Haney, Ryan Garcia, and the rest of the other young fighters that are coming up the ranks. There's time for them, and you know, just groom them carefully. Before you know, they'd be shining, and they'd be saying, "Wow, look at these guys!" So you got to create a fan base and making sure that they do it the right way.
Exactly, because it's one thing that I think boxing has over MMA is the ability to build a long, steady following, a long, steady career, and then you get thrown in with those champions.
Exactly.
It's a lot better to you know, you have a following at that
exactly.
point.
Exactly, Oscar De La Hoya and Top Rank and. Eddie Hearns and Frank Warren, all these fighters for Europe.
They're doing a good job not throwing these guys out there too.
No, right. So people are wondering, how come you're not getting into these Joshua with Deontay Wilder and Deontay
Marination.
Wilder? Yeah, it takes a little while. You know what? They know what they're doing. It's a business. They know you got to promote it right. If you go too, you rush too quick with it, you're going to fail. You say, damn, we should have waited another year.
Oh, my God, yes.
You should have waited another year, just like Canelo did. With
the Triple G.
What Golden Boy did with Canelo and the Triple G, they waited.
Let that build two, three years.
3 years. Four, 3 years ago, for sure, no question about it, Canelo would have gotten whipped by a Triple G. But they waited with the time.
But not just gotten whipped, it wouldn't have made as much money, right? Isn't that the end of the day? It wouldn't have made as much money.
It's a business, but why rush him 3 years ago?
Exactly.
When you know if you hold him back, You had to fight like all these other fights. He made $20, $30, $40 million before even fighting Triple G. That was the right thing. Mm-hmm. And then you say, okay, now we're going to go for the big boy, for the big bucks. And they did it, and they made the money, and they got their title. And you know what?
Look at
now, and Triple G is still in the mix.
Look at Spence Crawford right now. Spence Crawford is probably, other than that heavyweight fight that we were talking about, probably the biggest fight to be made in boxing. It's the one everybody's talking about. It's the one everybody's excited about. But everybody is me, you, and hardcore boxing fans. Like, people on the street don't know who Spence and Crawford are. They're kind of learning who they are. But if we wait, and I mean, if we give it another 2 years, that can do 100, you know, 1.5 million pay-per-view buys. It can be a real big fight. The fact of the matter is, as long as we waited for Pacquiao Mayweather, there's a reason it made $600 million. And that's the marination effect. It's just kind of the way it is. I mean, there's a reason why the boxing most important thing most important thing you can have as a boxing fan is patience. And that goes with their careers and it goes with the big fights.
And you just have the Faber Firm show here every Monday. You know what? We're not going to rush it.
No.
We're not the kind of following we had last year.
Oh, yeah.
And we know the numbers that we are up today, you know, and they just keep building and building. It takes time. We're not rushing.
That's why we only come on once a week on this
you know,
show.
But we know where we're heading, but we're trying to give you the best we can. We know we're not the best out there, but we're hard to beat. I can tell you that.
That's for sure, my friend.
You know, we're trying to give you everything we can. You know, if we step out of time. Next year, we'll do better. The following year, we'll do better. Before you know it, we'll be on national TV on one of the regular networks doing the show. Just what you guys want to hear.
Unbeatable, baby.
Yeah,
unbeatable, baby. Speaking of that.
Undisputed, too.
Undisputed. Undisputed champs. That's what I like to hear. Now, speaking of that, we're just in time for my first segment of the month. This is I like making up segments as we go. We don't have a lot of recurring segments, but every once in a while, we throw a new one in here. And today, you know, as festive as we usually are, I thought we could decide we could do an April Fool themed segment. So this segment is called April Fooled. And I'm going to tell you three big news items that came out today. These are all real news items. These all came out from reputable journalists, reputable reporters, all from reputable sites. But being that we're fight fans, you never know. Until the bell rings, we don't know who's going to fight who and when they're going to fight them, right?
Right.
So I'm going to tell you these three news items, and you tell me whether this is you know, this is what we want here. Whether we've been April Fool'd. Joe, number one, Manny Pacquiao and Keith Thurman are in advanced talks for a July 13th pay-per-view event. Have we been April Fool'd, or you think that's going to happen?
I think that's April Fool'd. I think it's too quick for the marketing. It's too close for, you know.
Yeah, that sounds soon.
You need like a six-month promo on that. You got to promote it for about 6 months.
Yeah, it's a pay-per-view fight, and you got Manny Pacquiao in it.
So I think that's what April Fool's.
Okay, we've been April Fool'd there. You hear that, fight fans? This is why we have an expert. This is why we have lucky to talk to this guy every week. Now, how about this one? This one you might like the timeline a little more. Errol Spence versus Sean Porter, apparently on a collision course. Everything's lining up perfectly for a September unification bout.
That's a real thing.
Now we're talking, huh?
Now we're talking.
They've been saying each other's names for a long time.
Yeah, September is good timing right now.
All the way you say no
April, fool. May, June, July, August, September. 5 months, that's a done deal.
No fooling. Plenty of time to build that fight up.
No fooling there, bud. No fooling there.
I love that, baby. I love that. And they're on the same promoter. I love that. Now we got the big news. Vladimir Klitschko set to end his 2-year retirement and return to the ring on May 25th. Is that happening, or have we been April Fool's?
I think that's happening.
You think it's happening? Yeah, Joe.
He's been in the gym training, and
he has never stopped.
He hasn't stopped, and he wants to. He said that burning desire inside of him. And you know what? He's still a threat in the heavyweight division.
Oh yeah,
just because he got stopped.
He's a top five heavyweight right now. Yeah, no questions asked.
He's still in there. He's in the mix.
If he comes back and he gets one of those belts, or maybe beats Joshua and gets all those belts back. What does that do for his all-time ranking?
Oh, that'll really make
it's a big one, right?
That'll make him one of the greatest.
Exactly. I mean, not that he isn't already, but we're talking the short list, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah, absolutely. But you know what? You know what? Another guy's coming back. I mean, really, this is for real.
Yeah.
Or was it April Fool's?
Is it Joe Cortez?
Joe Cortez is coming back as a fighter, not as a referee, as a fighter. Now, you fans out there, is that real or is that April Fool's? You figure that one out. That should be an easy one for you guys.
Love that.
If you don't get that one, man. You don't have a full deck.
I love that. Now, that has been April Fool'd with Joe Cortez. That is an exciting segment. I hope we do that every year. That was a good one, man.
Yeah,
we're lucky to get those news items at the end.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, of course, you know, we still have a lot of dream fights for 2019. You know, what are the dream fights I would like to see? Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah, I'd watch it again.
I'd like to see that happen.
Pay whatever.
You know, yeah, well, who cares? You know,
who wouldn't?
Manny Pacquiao proved to the world after beating Adrian Broner that he still has a lot of it. I mean, he fought like any young fighter out there. And he told me the night before the fight at the weigh-in, after the win. He told me, Joe, I'm focusing. I asked, are you ready to fight Floyd Mayweather? And he says, you know what? I'm going to focus on this fight with Adrian Broder tomorrow. And then he said, we'll talk about that. And after the fight, I wasn't able to catch up with him, but I caught up with his trainer, Freddie Roach.
Oh, yeah.
I said, Freddie, what do you think? He said, well, we're ready to go sit down and negotiate.
Freddie said he wanted Mayweather from the beginning. He said whoever wins this fight gets Mayweather, and that's why we want it so bad.
And
he wasn't as shy about it as Manny was. Yeah. He said, I want Mayweather. We want Mayweather.
Yeah, and I spoke with Mayweather's manager.
Leonard Ellerbe.
And I asked him right after the fight that same night at the press conference, the post-fight press conference, and I said, well, Leonard Ellerbe, are we ready for Manny Pacquiao? He said, well, Joe, you know, there's a lot of guys in the welterweight division out there. Mm-hmm. There's so many people to negotiate with. But I know he's playing that game of
course.
That's what you got to play.
He wants them to come to him.
Yeah.
And I think there's a number out there.
I believe that behind the scene, they're already talking about probably doing something. And it's going to happen. You know what? It's going to happen in September.
Yeah, I think it'll happen before the end of the year. I really do think it'll happen again, but not if he fights Keith Thurman and loses. I think we lose a little steam.
If they fight Keith Thurman,
the only reason he takes the Keith Thurman fight is if he's 100% sure he's never going to fight Floyd Mayweather, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's the only way.
Yeah, but then you got Sean Porter. You know, I like to see him in Sean Porter. They should give Sean Porter a shot. I mean, Sean Porter, two-time world champion.
Yeah.
IBF and WBC champion right now, welterweight division.
I think what we're going to have, Joe, I really do, if Mayweather bows out, and it's seeming like he's going to, but there's always a chance he comes back. They could throw 75% at him of that pay-per-view money. And, would you rather have 25% of fighting, would you rather have 25% of fighting Floyd Mayweather, or would you rather have 70% of fighting Keith Thurman? I'd rather have 25% of fighting Floyd Mayweather any day of the week.
Well, right,
that money's real.
I mean, it's real, that's for sure. And he has a better shot there. Floyd's getting a little older.
He might have a better shot.
Yeah, he hasn't fought a real fighter. I mean, Heath Ford.
I know what you mean. He's fought a kickboxer and an MMA fighter.
Yeah, but that don't count.
So a basketball player and a pool player.
He's been.
Butcher, a baker, a candlestick maker.
He's been inactive for the last 2.5 years.
Yeah, fairly. Yeah. Outside, I mean, the last guy he even really fought was Berto. The last chance he had of losing was against Manny Pacquiao, and that was, 4 years ago? I mean, that time flies, man.
Yeah. Let's see what happens.
I think we're going to get Spence Porter. I think Thurman and Pacquiao are going to win.
No, Spence Porter, they should wait for that because...
It's a unification bout at this point.
Yeah, I think they should wait until Spence beats two top-notch welterweights in that group that I have bet we got right now. And let Sean Porter fight two other fighters in that welterweight.
Well, he might lose. He almost lost to Ugas. A lot of fights thought he did.
Yeah, well, I think he learned a lot from that fight. I think he got a little scared of his life. Because
I hope so.
When that bell sounded at the last round, you see a look on Porter's face was not a look of a winner. He looked like he was kind of disappointed at his performance. And I think he was surprised, pleasantly surprised, that he got a decision. Mm-hmm. And, you could go either way, but, I mean, a lot of fans thought that
Ugas
won the fight. And Sean Porter, what a nice gentleman. I mean, he's really a good man.
He's a nice guy, and he's great on TV. I love watching him on the Inside PBC Studios.
He for sure has a second career boxing.
He's already doing it.
After he retires.
Now.
He's polishing up, getting ready for when he does retire. You know what? He'll be one of the top commentators out there.
He was good for the Spence Garcia fight. Yeah. I liked hearing him, man. Yeah. I like having him in there.
Yeah,
he's one of the better ones, honestly.
When you're somebody behind the mic who's been a fighter and been in the ring so many times with great fighters, with his experience, those are the kind of guys you want to be calling the fights for.
What's funny is I think they're usually worse. Like, usually when you get fighters behind the mic, they're worse. But Andre Ward, Pauly Malignaggi, Roy Jones, and now I do like Sean Porter. I love the way he does. And some of these guys are just really good.
And some of the older fight guys like Bernard Hopkins and George Foreman, they were excellent commentators as well. Mm-hmm. All fighters. So, it tells you something about the history of a fighter.
Well, they know, watching Andre Ward with Vozdick this weekend. I mean, he was in that division 2 years ago, less. So he's looking at it as if I was fighting this guy, what would I be, what am I seeing his weaknesses? What am I seeing his strengths? It's fun to watch that.
Yeah, and it's good. Just me as a referee, when I go and I watch these fights, I kind of can tell more or less what direction the fight is heading because I've been in there with these fighters. I kind of think about what the next move is going to be. You have to kind of have that. You have that instinct in you as a referee. Mm-hmm. I'm able to see a lot of things that a lot of folks normally don't see, in advance. I see what's coming.
That's why we love having your insight, man. All the way around.
Well, it's good. It's a great feeling knowing that when you can watch, you can basically call it,
It is nice.
Without really, yelling it out for everybody. I'm very quiet. I'm a good observer. I'm watching it, and I know where the fight is heading in most cases.
Absolutely. Well, I think our best chance, honestly, Joe, of getting this Spence Crawford fight. I think if Spence beats Porter and then Spence beats Pacquiao after Pacquiao beats Keith Thurman, or the other way around, because that's going to be a big fight regardless if those two make it. Then he's got all the belts except for the Terrence Crawford belt. Mm-hmm. And then we have enough hype to make that unification. And Spence has a right to say, hey, I'm the A side in this fight. I say where we do it. I say, you know, how we do it, where we do it. And they're able to make that cross promotion. I think we can get that fight in the next year and a half if he's able to clean up his side of the street.
Well, I tell you what happened the other day by him beating Mikey Garcia really proved to the world. And even it proved me as well. Also,
he sold 400,000 pay-per-views.
He showed me that. That he does have what it takes to be a good champion. I mean, beating Mikey Garcia, even though Mikey Garcia was going up two weight classes, but he showed the world that he can handle.
He outlanded him 5-1. He beat him 120-107 on one card.
But you know, I think that that Mikey Garcia still has got a lot. Not in the he had no business in the welterweight division. Let him go back to 135.
He doesn't belong there.
140 maybe. But 135.
He didn't even look good at 140.
At 135, he should stick there and maybe. Continue his career and retire at 135.
I got a question about a potential opponent of his. You know, because that's another super fight we've been talking about for years, is Mikey Garcia versus Vasily Lomachenko. Now, Vasily Lomachenko's got a fight next Friday on ESPN+. He's fighting Anthony Crolla. The last two times we've seen Vasily Lomachenko, he got knocked down for the first time in his pro career against Jorge Linares, and then came back and fought a tough fight where he looked impressive but wasn't able to finish Jose Pedraza, who, as we know, you know, has been finished by Gervonta Davis before.
Did Pedraza put him down in that fight?
No. Linares put him down, but he wasn't able to put Pedraza down.
Okay, so, but it was...
My question is, does he need to knock out Crolla? Does he need to make a statement to stay on top of the pound-for-pound game?
He has to knock out this guy, Crolla.
I think he does, too.
If he doesn't knock him out, the people say, well...
Going, maybe he's kind of washed. He's 31, 32.
Not that he's washed, but he's starting to slip. Mm-hmm. He reached his peak already, and now you're on the downside, on the peak. So you're going up, you're looking good up here, and when you reach the peak, now from there, where do you go? You can't go any higher.
You better impress every time.
There's only one place you can go, is going down.
Yes, sir.
So he's starting to go down a little bit.
Exactly. Yeah. I think he needs to impress this weekend, too. Next Friday.
I think he'll look impressive.
You know, we'll talk about that fight more next week for sure. We'll do a little preview on it. But, you know, I'm just happy to be able to talk boxing again, you know, being happy to have some big fights.
Well, you know, you got all these fighters out there, you know, just trying to show the world that they have what it takes to be the best out there. And, of course, this is what the fighters want. They want to be recognized and be respected as a great champion. Now, somebody's asking the question, who do you say fights May 25th?
I don't think we said anything.
I don't think we have nothing for May 25th. How about we go for May 4th? May 4th is a big day.
Oh, no, you know what I said? I'm sorry. I said Vladimir Klitschko. Vladimir Klitschko is, according to reports, set to come back May 25th to fight in Kiev, where his brother is the mayor, and end his two-year retirement. I'm sorry. Oh, yeah. But back to May 4th. Fight that matters.
May 4th, you faced out there. I know you did the fight you guys have been waiting for. And, of course, you know.
I know I have.
Canelo Alvarez versus Danny Jacobs. I mean, that is a fight. Could be possibly the fight of the year.
Oh, very much.
I mean, it's definitely, on paper, it looks good.
It's the one I'm most excited about.
And the record speaks for itself. And Danny Jacobs has an excellent record, you know, being a former middleweight champion. When he fought to Triple G, he lost to Triple G. Kind of a controversial decision. A lot of fans thought that Danny Jacobs won the fight.
Yeah.
So that's why, but he was surprised when I asked him about fighting on May 4th, Cinco de Mayo weekend. He said, I was surprised and happy that and honored. He said that Canelo Alvarez people accepted me as their opponent.
I was too, man. I was super impressed.
Yeah, because I mean, he's a dangerous fighter for Canelo. And Danny Jacobs, they call him the Miracle Man. He's a cancer survivor. And here he is fighting for his life again to show the world that he's the best middleweight out there. He doesn't like the feeling of not having that belt around him.
Oh, no.
You know,
he misses that, baby.
He wants to get this belt. These belts are so important to some of these fighters.
Oh, of course. I mean, it keeps them warm at night.
It keeps them, they put their wrap around their waist.
Of course.
And, you know, the only belt I got is the one.
Keeps their pants up, yeah.
The one holding up my pants. That's it. That's the only belt that I got.
Good job.
But,
okay, well, yeah. No, that makes... I mean, I'm excited about this fight. Let me ask this, because we had one of our guests on our radio show a little while back. It might have been Nelson Fernandez. I can't remember exactly who said it, but he brought up a good point that I kind of like. Now, Canelo's fought twice now at T-Mobile Arena. The first time against Triple G and the second time against Triple G. The gates on those fights were $23 million and $21 million. Floyd's only fought at T-Mobile once, and that was against Conor McGregor. Every other fight he had was obviously at MGM Grand Garden Arena, which is... You know, the house that Floyd built. How long until T-Mobile Arena is the house that Canelo built?
Well, he's definitely on his way there.
Right?
He's definitely on his way there because the people, the fight fans and the people, all these owners of these hotels here And these promoters know where the big bucks is right here in Nevada.
On May 4th.
The boxing capital. Well, May 4th, of course, is a big fight. And at T-Mobile Arena, if you haven't been to Vegas, you want to come see a fight.
Oh, it's amazing.
Try to make it to the T-Mobile Arena.
Oh, it's amazing.
It's amazing. It's a beautiful place, beautiful suites. The seats can be kind of expensive, but you got them up in the nosebleed section. You probably get them for $200 or $300.
No, which is, you know what? And it's a once-in-a-lifetime experience. You got to come to the biggest fight night of the year in Las Vegas, Nevada. And also, having gone to that stadium a lot of times for basketball games, hockey games, concerts, you name it, those top nosebleed seats, they're kind of steep, but they do it for a reason. There's no bad seat in the house. There's not one seat up there that you can't see excellent from, and I love that about it.
Yeah, yeah. No, the T-Mobile Arena is definitely a venue that you want to come to watch the fights. And, of course, the fight fans are just thrilled to come to Vegas, because not only come here for the fights, you got the entertainment, you know, the shows,
oh, yeah.
The shows, the food, the nightclubs. I mean, you go for dinner here in Vegas, you talk about dinner maybe around starting at 10 o'clock at night.
Oh, easily.
You know?
Oh, easily.
I mean, people will come out of their rooms about 10 o'clock at night. You can spend the whole night out there, 3, 4 in the morning.
Oh, my God.
And what thing about the casino nightlife is that you don't see a clock anywhere in the hotel.
No, they don't do clocks.
And you don't see any windows. You don't see any windows.
It's all on Vegas time, baby. It could be
8 o'clock in the morning. The sun is coming out, and you know what? You can't tell the difference because
no, you cannot.
They don't want you to see if there's daylight out there or not. They want you to spend as long as you can in the casino.
So let's ask this question then.
Yeah.
If it's not the house that he built, it's definitely where he lives, right? His name's on the deed. Should Danny Jacobs be worried at all about coming in on his home turf? Or is it just one more obstacle he's going to have to...
There's another obstacle, right?
Well,
there's another obstacle you're going to face in your life. And a fighter knows that you're
at
not...
At the end of the day, all that matters is between those ropes?
Yeah. Well, it doesn't make any difference. A fan is asking, would you like to fight Joe for $10 million?
Oh, man, Joe.
Oh, okay.
Who's putting the money up?
Okay, how much? I'm
not a promoter, Joe. I mean, I'll tell you what, I would buy the pay-per-view.
But would you like to fight Joe for $10 million?
I don't want to fight you. I don't. I fight you every week for...
A fan out there would like to fight me for $10 million.
Oh, he wants to fight you.
And you know what? I'll take it for $1 million. I don't want to get greedy.
Put the money on the table. There you go.
Put your mouth where your money's at.
Tell him to put his money up. Tell him like Eddie Hearn said. I want to see proof of funds, and we'll do it right now. I'll set it up. I'll promote it right now.
Put your money where your mouth is at. That's all I can tell you.
Joe, we're going to put his fist in your mouth.
You know what? We'll do it right now.
Don't get him going. We got another couple minutes left.
Hey, you know what? You fans out there, that's why we love you guys, you know, because this is what we want to see. We don't want to be talking out there about fighting for nothing. We're talking about millions. I like that.
Oh, baby. Yes, sir. This is not the UFC. We're fighting for real money here. This is boxing. This is the way it goes, man. This is what's up. And when we're talking about Canelo and we're talking about Mayweather, we're talking about money.
That's
what's up. That's the money, man. That's what they do.
I mean, that's the money team on that side.
Oh, yeah.
We got the money team on this side.
Yeah, we absolutely do.
Come on, we got the contracts right here.
Yeah, well, let's sign them.
You can sign up right here. Yeah, sign up. I'm ready to go, man. I'm as sharp as they come. I mean, I still got a little spark of the old flesh.
And he ain't April Fooling right now. That's so funny.
Yeah, no, but we love you guys out there. I mean, this is what boxing is all about, having fun and not trying to...
Hey, Joe, they threaten to fight me every week and in the comments, and they never once offered me any money for
no
it.
No money?
So, no. Man. You're better at marketing than me, Joe. I got to get a better promoter team.
Stay
under this umbrella.
Alan Bell says, deal or no deal, he is ready.
Well,
put your money where your mouth is at. I'm ready to go, buddy. Alan, we love you, man.
Alan, thank you for writing in. We love this, man. This is an excellent way to end the show every time, man. You guys are the best. Thank you always for writing in, everybody, and you guys are the best, honestly.
And don't forget to watch us on
every week. Also want to mention that before we have to leave. I want to mention to make sure you check us out on YouTube. Every show is on YouTube when we're done with it. Not only this show, but our Saturday shows that we do outside of Las Vegas. Speaking of those Saturday shows, if you live in the area, we're on at 11:30 a.m. Las Vegas Pacific time, and that's on KDWN, KDWN. You can find us on KDWN.com or on your regular radio at 101.5 FM or 720 AM. We're the Valley's only sports news talk FM radio station. You can also catch us on Spotify. You can also catch us on SoundCloud. You can also catch us on Apple Music. You can also catch us on the Spotify, I'm sorry, on the podcast app and the Google Play Store. You can catch us anywhere where you can find, including Audio Boom, you name it. If there's a play, if you can put a podcast there, ours is there. And we'd love to see you there, and we'd love to see you subscribe. And don't feel like you can only subscribe to one. You can subscribe to as many as you want. Make sure you reach out, since you're watching us on Facebook right now or wherever, make sure you reach out to our marketing team if you have any interest in becoming one of our sponsors, because we'd love to have you as part of the family. The more we grow, the more we'd like to take on more family members to grow with us. Joe, you have anything more to add here?
Yeah, well, you said it all, man.
I mean,
you need to give me a break. But you want some water or something?
I need to do some altitude training, Joe, before I do these long, I get winded.
And all I can tell you guys is thank you so much for tuning in every week. And don't forget, we're trying to help out the kids out there. I think it's about educating the young fans out there, get them on the right track. And you folks out there that need a little help also, don't be afraid to try to reach out to us. My thing is about helping people out there. We believe in paying it forward. We love you guys. Keep your guards up at all times. Protect yourselves at all times. And remember, I'm fair but I'm firm. Touch them up.
Fair but firm with the Hall of Fame boxing referee. I'm Joe Cortez for all of Las Vegas. Come on, guys. Let's touch them up. Clean fight. I'm Joe Cortez. Fair but firm.